I want to bring you just a very familiar parable. Jesus was talking. And so at home in the mornings when I spend my time in prayer early, so here's my routine. I pray first, and then I read my Bible. I read one chapter in the Bible. And then after that, I have a little book. I used to have it in the bookstore, and I don't think we have it anymore, Anthony. It's called The Words of Jesus. Do we have that? A little really nice little softback. And it's I think it's just called The Words of Jesus. And it's every red letter. It's just all the red letters in this book. And so I read a portion of that every morning. And so this morning, my portion was this. There's no devotional. It's just the words of Jesus. And so I'm in his parables right now where it's the stories that he told. And so this is the parable that he gave. But when I read it, and I, you know, preached it, read it so many times, so have you. But the Holy Spirit again ministered to me for tonight. So please hear this, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us, and I know he will, because you know what, church, listen to me. He was looking at our attitudes. He was looking at how we are, how we behave ourselves, and I'm thinking maybe he was saying, hey, you need a little attitude check, and giving that to all of us. Okay, watch your tude, just watch it. All right, so let's see what he says. I'm not so much going to hit here on the prodigal son, but on his brother. But you can't talk about his brother until you talk about the bad boy, the prodigal. Okay, so let's look at Jesus' speaking and preaching and writings in Luke 15. And he tells us this story starting at verse 11. Luke 15, 11. And then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And so he divided them. He divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and all of the inheritance that dad gave him. He went ahead and journeyed into a far country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. I think the old King James calls it riotous living, which means pretty wild living. This says prodigal living in the New King James. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and then he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen. This is dangerous, but he went there and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. That's pretty bad. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. His thinking out loud, I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. In other words, Father, that'll just be good enough for me. I don't deserve anything more. If I could just be as well off as your hired servants, God, that would, Father, that'd be so good. Verse 20, and he rose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servant, to his own servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Well, let's just stop there, okay? Because I want to save time. Let's go back and I'll just get started in what I felt come to me during this time. So you got two boys that this man loved very much. And so the young one said, Father, give me my inheritance. I don't want to wait. I want it now. And the father was sweet enough and kind enough to say, and he may have known. You know, I've said before, I think the older one maybe had the character that he could have held on to, but this young boy, he didn't have the character to take his inheritance, because you saw what he did with it. But the older guy, he probably had the character to walk with it and keep it and be wise with it, but he didn't probably have the boldness to ask. So the young guy goes, Father, give it to me. And the minute he gets his inheritance, all of this money, all the blessing, it says he went off to a far country. He just took off. One man told me, he says, I said, what would you do if you had $1 million? He said, I'd go to Hawaii every weekend. He said, I'd buy me a boat, and I would do this and I'd do that. But every one of the things he wanted, because he worked, it would have been a weekend thing. And I said, you know what? Because you're a Christian, you're probably never going to get that stuff. Well, God may give it to you, but look, this guy journeyed off. And he said, I'd be gone every weekend traveling. Well, he journeyed to a far country, and there, look what he did. He wasted his possessions. He wasted it all. But here's what I see in the church. Here's what I see so often over the years. People will get a big blessing, a big bonus, and they will, not everybody, some people will just can stay and enjoy their blessings and enjoy their prosperity and enjoy their blessing and just go on as though, you know what, God is my Savior. I'm blessed, 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 blessed. But others, T.D. Jakes used to preach a message called, Can you stand a blessing? Can you take a blessing? In other words, what would you do with it if you were overly blessed? Could you stand it? What would you do? Or would you waste it on riotous living? So he took off, but when the possessions were gone, verse 14, when he had spent all there was, a severe famine came into the land, and look what it says. Read that last line of verse 14. He began to be in want. Okay, now he's wasted it all, but now he's wanting. You know what he's going to do now is go to other people and beg for it. Can you help me? I heard one preacher say one time, people spend their wants and they beg their needs. They spend their wants, and I could go into a lot of things there and give you some examples, but I won't. How people, they see them over at Walmart places, they get their pay, and they're over there, they're taking off, and then they come home, they don't have enough money to pay the Edison bill. So they're coming to me to say, can you pay my Edison bill? Okay, and a whole lot of things like that. So this was bigger than that. This young man spent it all, wasted it all. He went down, but look, this story just gets worse and worse. I really didn't see it like this until this morning. But he went to a far country, he wasted it all. But then when he began to be in want, then, look, here's what happens. Whenever you begin to be in want, you'll make bad decisions. In fact, a young lady told me tonight, she was sharing her testimony with me. She said she was bitter, she was full of hate, because Sunday morning we're going to have cardboard testimonies, some really fresh testimonies. And I asked her, would she do it? And she said, yes. But she said, I was bitter, I was full of hate, I was rebellious. And she said, I began to hate myself. And she said, and I made terrible decisions while I was of a hard heart that I had brought on myself. But see, God is merciful. He knows the messes we make. And he knew this young man, this father. Maybe he thought, well, you know what you wanted? I'm going to give it to you because I love you. So he began to be in want. But verse 15 says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, the country where he went bad, where he wound up living out there with the pigs. Look at it. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. Don't join up with the wrong people. You've got good kids that'll go off to universities, and I hear stories of it all the time. They moved in with the wrong roommate. This kid had never taken a drink. Just hooks up, like it said here, joined himself to a citizen of that country or that university. That friend, that neighbor, that person on the job joins up with the wrong one. And when they join up with the wrong one, then it says that he sent him down to the fields to feed the swine. Verse 16, I'm telling you, it just gets worse. And then he would have gladly filled his stomach with pods that the swine ate, but no one would even give him any of that. Now the young person who was so sweet that goes off and becomes an alcoholic himself because they joined themselves to the wrong people in the wrong country, took himself out from his father's blessing. Just like, and we've mentioned it many times, Prince William pulled himself out from the royal family. Who would do such a thing? Verse 16. But he goes, they wouldn't even give me any of the pig food. Sorry, Chris. Chris is a daddy of 7 baby pigs. That's just a good spot for it, Chris. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, this is what happened to my sweet friend I was talking to earlier. She said, all of a sudden, I came to myself, Pastor. And I was so bitter, and I was so hateful. I hated myself because of the mess. And she said one day, this all by herself, she just said, God, if you can help me, I don't know what to do. I can't help me. I don't know what to do. It's nobody's fault but mine. Yes, my ex, da-da-da-da-da. But I need help. And he helped her and forgave her and washed her and cleansed her. And this girl's got such a beautiful glow about her face. Oh, you'll see it Sunday morning. But he totally changes his people. This is how this young man suddenly, just like this sweet young lady, he came to himself. And he thought, well, my father, even at my dad's house, the people that feed the pigs, the people that wash the dishes, cook the food, take care of the cows, they're all better off than I am. Well, I'll just rise and go to my father's house. I'll tell him I've sinned, and he had it all figured out. I'm going to tell him, Lord, Dad, I don't even deserve to be in your house. I'll stay outside. I'll work for the servants. I don't deserve anything. Well, Dad didn't even give him that chance. It said, Dad looked down the road, way, way down the road, and he saw his baby coming down that road. His grown son, he saw him coming down the road. Dad didn't even give him a chance to apologize. The Bible says he just ran to that boy. He fell on his neck and kissed him. And when he did, he yelled back to the servants, go ahead and give him the most beautiful purple robe. Go get him one of the robes. Get him a big gold ring to go on his finger. So now I'm looking at all this and I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, I know I didn't know that boy had, I knew he'd strayed off and it just kept growing. But then he went to verse 25. And it says, now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, hey, what's going on? What's all that mean? What's all that music I hear? You know the story. Verse 27. And he said to him, oh, your brother has come home because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has filled a fatted calf. And it looks to me like this brother thought, that loser, he does not deserve one thing from my daddy. He doesn't deserve anything. He took advantage of my father. He went out and one version says he spent it on prostitutes. Well, you don't know what that boy spent it on. But he said that. Look at it. Let it speak for itself in verse 28. But he was angry. Big brother. He was angry and he wouldn't even go in the house. Look at that. He would not go in. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. He went out on the porch and said, "Son, please come in." Verse 29, so he answered and said to his father, "Look, lo, these many years, Father, I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But this son of yours," he didn't say my brother. He goes, "but this kid, this boy, he has come home. That son of yours who has devoured your livelihood, look, with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him." Man, he's just telling his father off. He's giving his dad a piece of his mind. "You should have known better. I go to church. I'm faithful. I pay my tithe. I've never been out there. I didn't party. I didn't carouse. I didn't go out there into the streets. I didn't act like him. And now you want to bring him in here? Fall all over him with a robe and a ring and kill the fatted calf? That's just not right. Dad, it's just not fair." Let me tell you all something. If everything was fair, we would all be in hell tonight. Every one of us. Amen? Thank you, someone that said amen. We'd all be there or on our way. But by the grace and the mercy of God, we were, one of us were a prodigal. But here's what I heard the Holy Spirit saying. My church is full of good kids. It's so full of good, holy, righteous kids. You all are faithful. I'm faithful. We give our tithe. We give our offerings. You gave to buy us a new air conditioner. We do the best we can. When nobody else comes, we're here. But then sometimes, one will come in. And just to welcome that person, somebody might bring it up. Say, "Pastor, why do you mention that person? Why do you mention that person? Why?" I want to say, that is none of your business. Why don't you go ask Jesus what he thinks about them? I'll tell you what Jesus would say. He would say, "My baby has come home. At least he's in the house." I told somebody the other day, I know there's bad in the house. I know everybody's not perfect, including myself. But I would rather somebody who's laying in a bed with who knows who last night be here on Sunday morning than out there. Y'all better preach with me tonight. I'm giving you the truth of the word. It doesn't matter to me because that is none of my business. All is my business is to present this word to feed the saints the best that I can. Many others can do better, but this is where you and I are. And so I feed it and put the word out. And I'm happy to do it, and I'm honored to do it. But folks, think about it. Wouldn't you much rather that people, someone might call a hypocrite? I don't know any hypocrites. I'm going to tell you right now, I have never known a hypocrite in the church. I know we're damaged and might be somebody not living right. But if they're here, I'd rather them be here than out there. Because if they're in here, the Holy Spirit might grab them by the nape of the neck and put conviction on their heart and bring them in. And if God wants to dress them in a robe and put a ring on their finger, you're like, "How about me?" I've been in church a long time. You all have too. Oh my goodness. Even in this church, I haven't seen it in a while, a long time, because I don't take well to it. But I've had people, if I ask one person to preach on Wednesday night, not too many on Sunday morning maybe if I'm sick or something, but on Wednesday night, and no one's here that's done this tonight, okay? But they would not even speak to that person. They'd get so mad and so angry and so jealous. because I asked that person to speak on Wednesday night. I didn't make that choice by myself. God laid that person on my heart, said, ask them. They got the word. And yet somebody would get so jealous. And growing up in the church, we don't have a lot of special songs here. I wish we did, but we don't. But when I was growing up in the church, many of you too, on Sunday nights, there would be probably 10 special songs, you know. But boy, if the pastor left one person out, oh my goodness, he was going to have hell on earth to pay. Y'all are laughing because you know that's true. I remember one time we had 14 specials that night, and it was none of my business, but somebody, not me. I wouldn't ask the pastor that. But one of my friends said, Pastor, do you think 14 songs was a whole lot? I mean, that took almost an hour. He said, I had to ask them all, because if I didn't, someone was going to get mad. That was another sweet boy. He wasn't bad. The older one, he wasn't a bad boy. He wasn't mean. He just thought he had more coming. I guess he just thought he was entitled. And I asked the Holy Spirit to help me bring this to you tonight, to get it across to you right, because I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. I just believe that I heard the Holy Spirit say, now watch your attitude, church, because here's the thing. We're in the hour and the day where you know the world, the harvest is coming in. And God said, pray that there will be many harvesters in the field. He wants us to all, you say, I don't go out in the field. You know, I don't go anywhere to meet anyone. No, you have a circle, whether you go to the store or the bank or you're at home and a mailman comes to your house, there's always someone that the Holy Spirit can put conviction on you that would spill over on them. Or an invite or whatever it might be. So consider when that one comes in the church, she may have Daisy Dukes on up to here. He may have on a skull shirt that looks horrible. It just may be horrible that what you see. You may not know she had all these abortions. What's that to you? He said, don't worry about who they are, where they are. Well, I know they're homosexuals. I know too. But you know what? They're welcome in this house. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Anyone can come in that wants to come in this house. And I thank God that our security watches over us. But God, the dad, had to talk to that boy. And he said, you need to get a hold of your rebellious, stubborn self. And you need to stop acting that way. You come on in this house. No, 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 no. I'm not going in there with him. He doesn't deserve it. I've been here. Dad, you know good and well I've done the work while he was away playing all those years. How many kind of see that boy's point? You admit it. I can kind of see his point. I've been here doing all this, and he's not doing squat. Okay, he's been out there playing around. You heard what he said. But look at verse 31, and I'll quit. And he said to him, son, here's what God wants you to see. Here's what Jesus wants you to see. He said to him, son, you are always, always with me. And all that I have is yours. Everything is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. So he said, it's good. When somebody is promoted, when somebody is blessed, we rejoice with them. Because we don't all get our own bonus and our own blessing at the same time. Somebody may have received this. Well, I don't know why they got it. They got it and I didn't get that financial blessing. Or I didn't. Come on, just wait on God. Just be expecting. More old Robert used to sing, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And you keep that in your heart and keep that father's attitude and see what I heard God telling me to tell you, like he told me, Paulette, honey, you've always been with me. Sharon, you were raised in it. Portia, Peggy, You got roots, Lynn. I can still see your mom. I thought I saw someone look just like her the other day. He said, do you all have my blessings? You grew up on it. And all I have is yours. So I heard him saying, why don't you just go out there and bring in a goat? Just go get a goat out of your field. Just go get a goat. Just go get a sheep and you bring in and kill it. Someone tonight that I knew. I knew this woman didn't have this money. I almost wanted to tell her, honey, put that back in your pocket. We're not taking it. But it was hers to give to him. And he said, you have it? You know what she did? She didn't have it. But somewhere she had it. She must have got it out of her purse. But I'm saying it wasn't just wasted money. Now, this guy probably had a goat and a sheep. But she said, I'm going to put $200 on that air conditioner. I'm like, what? What? I wanted to say, where are you going to get $200? But it was hers, and she gave it to God. That's just how God's people are. We love him. We know him. He's going to take care of her. The blessing's going to be on her. So God says, everything I have belongs to you. You've already got the coat. You've already got the ring. You've already got the blessing. So look, all I want us to do tonight, I don't want you to ask him for anything, okay? We're not the prodigal. We're not the older kid. And let me just tell you, we are not a toxic church, Brother Mike. We are not toxic. We got a lot of good folks in this house. Most of you that are here this Wednesday night, you've been with him many, many, many years. Even you young women, you were raising it, young men. And so all I want us to do tonight, I just sat there with him. I said, Lord, I want you to forgive me for any time that maybe there was somebody I could have reached out to and got him saved while I was in a restaurant or I saw him downtown. You put him right in front of my place, and maybe I didn't care for them like the older brother didn't even care whether his brother got saved or not. Well, the father did. He said that boy was dead. I mean, he was gone. He was dead, but now he's alive. Hallelujah. Praise God.